remember preaching it in Norway, in Malta, in Korea, all over the world, because God has directed me to preach it. But I'm not going to preach it that way this morning. I've never preached anything like I've preached this morning, and I feel so directed that this is going to minister to some people here, including me. So 2 Corinthians 12, verse number 1, Paul said, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelation of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth, such a one caught up to the third heaven, to a place with God that perhaps very few have ever arrived at. And I knew such a man," he's talking about himself, "whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught or lifted up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities or weakness or illness. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he see me to be, or that he beareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." Could you say thorn in the flesh? "The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." God allowed Satan to bring something in the life of Paul in order to cause him to be grounded and get greater revelation, greater power. "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." And he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, my sickness, my weakness, my affliction, my problems. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in persecutions, in necessities, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." There are some people in here don't realize the power they have because of what they're going through. The greatest anointing that I have ever felt in my life has been at the lowest point of my life, thinking, "God, I can't do anything." Amen. And God said, "Perfect now." Amen. "That the glory of God and my power." Amen. Jesus, we just humble ourselves this morning before you and ask you, God, to touch us and give us understanding. Help us to understand that all things work together for good. Yes. To those that are called according, amen, to your purpose, not ours. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The thorn in the flesh that Paul talked about in the scripture came on the heels of an incredible spiritual experience. And so often we have these great highs in God, and then all of a sudden the other shoe drops, the door slams in our face, and we don't understand it. I've just been in the third heaven. I've just been with you to a dimension that I have never experienced before, and now all of a sudden there's something that's happened in my life. He was caught up to the third heaven. He saw visions and revelation that no man before him saw. He heard unspeakable words which is not lawful for a man to utter, but God did. He was caught up into paradise, in the Greek, a place of Eden or happiness. And it was in this place that he saw things he was not allowed to share with any mortal man. But he never forgot them. It's as if God pulled back the curtain and showed him a glimpse of heaven, of all of the glory that would take place. And I believe that if we really desire, God will reveal heavenly things to each and every one of us. But we got to get to the place where we desire those things. It just doesn't happen. God, show me. God, I want to get deeper somehow. Paul said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul prayed 3 times for deliverance and only heard these words, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. This world doesn't look at it that way. Oh, you know, buck up. Get strong. Push through it. God's saying, no, you don't have to. Amen. He said, Moses, I want you to deliver my people. And he said, you know what? I'm not eloquent in speech. I stutter is really what it says. And God said to him, who made your lips? If I made your lips, I can put the words in it. Amen. There's no one in this place that's inadequate in order to do a work for God. Now, in our carnal mind, it's difficult to understand how God could deny a man like Paul anything. So many were healed by his ministry and by the hands of his ministry. He suffered for the gospel's sake. In the chapter before this, Paul lists all of the things that he endured in the ministry. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 11. Starting in verse 23. Are there ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measure in prison, more frequent in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeying often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold, in nakedness. And besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all of the churches. Yet we read, when God denied his request, here's what he said, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Anyone in here feel weak? Anyone feel like, God, I don't know if I'm going to get through this? Reading the scripture makes it obvious that the key to surviving a thorn in the flesh is to never allow it to become a thorn in the spirit. Okay, you got problems. But how is that affecting your spirituality? I've seen too many people who have endured all kinds of situations in their life, and yet they walk to the altar, they worship God, they're more faithful than they've ever been. But when people get to the place where that thorn, that weakness, that reproach, that situation that they're trying to get through affects them spiritually, well, in this thing called life, we are going to face hardship, affliction, persecution, human weakness. Therefore, it is imperative that we understand what Paul understood. Here is the key. Are you ready? I'm not going to allow the thorn in my flesh to become a thorn in my spirit. It's not going to affect me spiritually. I'm still coming to church. I'm still going to pray. I'm still going to fast. I'm still regarding the Word of God. Oh, hallelujah. Then become dynamite for God. Dunamis. Every one of us have some form of a thorn from time to time. There isn't anybody that's going to escape. If somebody tells you, just come into the church, everything will be wonderful, it'll be a bed of roses, you know what? If you come this way, if we're standing for something, we're not falling for anything. Amen. We don't understand why God just doesn't take it away immediately. I'm your kid. Amen. Honey, you don't want to go to school today? Okay, just stay in bed. You dummy, and you will be. And God's saying, oh, you got a boo-boo? You know, I'll take care of that. He doesn't look for weaklings in the church. He's looking for somebody who will stand up and become a Christian. A disciple is someone who has some kind of discipline in their life. And who in here hasn't witnessed miracles and healings and revelation? We've been given revelation like other people haven't. And we're not elevated to the place where we really think we're somebody, yet some have endured thorns even as I speak. Hallelujah. As your pastor, I have insight to many difficult situations that many go through. I take them to my house, to my bed, to the middle of the night. I wish I could just remove them from you, from the hardships and afflictions and even sorrow that you go through. Because when you're a part of the body, all of the body feels what one member of the body feels. But we have an example in Paul who declared, I'm going to trust the Lord regardless of the situation that I'm facing. I'm glad that God has made me stubborn, in a sense, because stubbornness can save you, at least once you get beyond that stubbornness in order to embrace this gospel. His grace is sufficient to take me through. The denominational world holds to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So grab it. I love it. It's free. But we as Pentecostals seem to hold on to Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good for them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. We love it whenever we get a ticket. We love it. We get a flat tire, we love it. Oh, God. Now, I love that scripture, but in order to get to verse 28, you have to go through verse 26 and 27. So let's turn to Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses, our problems, our inadequacies. The Spirit helpeth. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings, and praying without understanding, which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Can you imagine God's praying for you? That's what it says. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he saw us in the future, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many creatures. So what God's ultimate goal is for us to conform to the likeness of him, his image and character and righteousness and morality. And that word predestinate doesn't mean, okay, that person's going to go to heaven, that person is not going to. He hasn't decided. We make that decision. But the word predestinate means to limit by tying up or restricting our freedom. So what God is saying, in order for you to become the image of him, somehow he's going to have to restrict our freedom or limit us by literally tying us up. It's like the caterpillar who decides, I want to become a beautiful butterfly, so he allows himself to be constricted to a cocoon, and then through maturation process, he eventually has to push out of that cocoon, and now I've got greater freedom than I ever had before. I don't crawl along the ground, but I'm able to fly in the sky and be something beautiful. Well, we go through that same process. Amen. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, restrict, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Can't wait to that glorification status. Hallelujah. Paul made up his mind that absolutely nothing, no thorn in the flesh was going to separate him from the love of God. If you just drop down to verse number 35, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Is there anybody here who's had a situation in their life and well, I don't know if I can still live for God. As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We can have the victory regardless of what we're going through. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes, we are going to have some thorns in the flesh. If you haven't experienced it, well, there isn't anything you can buy in order to prevent this thing from happening, but we cannot allow them to get to our spirit. Because the moment the thorn in the flesh gets to our spirit, we will separate from the love of God. You know, if all things do work together for good, those that are called for his purpose, then it doesn't matter what somebody did to you. It doesn't matter what you've gone through in sickness and in financial dilemma. It doesn't matter if you've lost your job or you lost your spouse. It doesn't matter, because somehow, some way, it's going to be to your benefit one way or another. Proverbs 18 and 14 says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmities or weakness, sickness, affliction. The spirit of a man will sustain him in that, but a wounded spirit, who can bear it? I can make it through this, God. But when we get to the place where we have a wounded spirit, over the years I've seen people who have suffered prolonged illnesses, loss of loved ones, financial distress, rejection from family and friends, cause them to lose out with God. the number one reason why people walk away from God is a wounded spirit. God, why did you allow this to happen to me? The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmities, but a wounded spirit, who can bear it? I'm wondering, is there somebody going through something right now? No question. At any given moment, there's always somebody going through something in the church, and we, as a church, have a responsibility in order to minister to those who are going through something. Get them to a place where they can feel the presence of God. Get them to a place where they can hear the anointed word of God preached so their spirit is not wounded. It may not take the problem in their flesh, but it'll heal their spirit. Don't allow your spirit to be wounded. I read about Pastor Gary Keller. He's a pastor in Ohio whose father passed away some years ago. His mother was in the room when a blood clot went to his father's heart, and as the staff tried to revive him, his mother paced the hallway praying that God would revive him. And she heard a man that was across the hall say to her, "Ma'am, could I just speak to you for a minute? I know that you're going through a terrible thing right now, but I want to tell you that your husband speaks my language. I'm from India. All night long, he praised his God in my language." And this is what he said over and over again. "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." Brother Keller's mother told him about 4 years after his father's death that every time a man of God would say, "God's a healer," she would just lower her head and say, "No, he's not." Because of that horrific experience, the thorn in her flesh made its way into her spirit. And now she became faithless because of her experience, to the point where she lost her faith in God. But one night in service, somebody insisted that she come up to the altar and start worshiping God. And God healed the thorn in her spirit. Sometimes God won't heal the thorn in our flesh. But I want you to know that every time you walk up to an altar, every time you raise your hands to God, God will heal that thorn in your spirit. If there's just one person in the Old Testament who would have been justified by allowing the thorn in the flesh to become a thorn in his spirit, it would be Job. And sometimes we want to go to the book of Job and, you know, "Job, I can understand exactly what you're going through because of my situation. He was a perfect and upright man," the Bible says. And God declares it. "Have you considered my servant Job? A perfect and an upright man." Well, you know what, God? If I was perfect in everything I did, well, then none of these situations would ever come in my life. Doesn't work that way. And yet he lost everything he had. Even a perfect person is not exempt from thorns. Satan delivered a thorn in Job's flesh just as was delivered to Paul, and yet this caused Job to fall to the ground and worship God. Job 1 and 21 says, "The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." Be careful. Be careful. We can have pity parties. We can tell everybody we know, looking for some kind of sympathy. "Look what I'm going through." They're not going to help you. But there is a God from heaven who will not tempt us beyond the way he will make an escape for us. Not the reaction of a lot of people, but in his worship, Job was informing Satan, you may have touched my family, taken all that I have, turned my spouse and my friends against me. His wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? Thank you, honey. Touch my body with boils and sickness. Clutter my mind with questions with God. Why are you allowing this to happen? But Satan, you're not going to take this thorn in my flesh and put it in my spirit. I'm going to keep my integrity. I'm going to keep my faith. Because my spirit belongs to God. That's why Job said in Job 32:8, but it is the spirit in a man. Listen to this. But it is the spirit in a man, the breath of the Almighty, that gives him understanding. I don't understand it, but I've got the Holy Ghost. And in that Holy Ghost, I understand that all things, yes, all things work together for good. Paul said it this way, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities or situations that we're going through. Church, we have all been through those situations. We all have God's breath in us, which is the Holy Ghost, which gives us understanding and confidence when things don't go the way we think they should go. Then when they go wrong, and if we are going to survive the thorn in our flesh, we all will have a thorn point in our life, but we can't allow it to seep into our spiritual dilemma. Then we must be inspired by the breath of God. We need to get into the presence of God. We need to hear the inspired word of God. When you walk out of here this morning, you should feel fortified and strengthened. Maybe your sickness won't be gone. Maybe your sorrow won't be gone. Maybe your financial dilemma won't be gone. But somehow in your spirit, you feel confident that God is with me. Hallelujah. Would you turn to Job, the 19th chapter? Job 19 and 23. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. He got his wish, didn't he? That they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Oh, he had confidence in God. Only an afflicted person with the right spirit could ever pen these words. It was a season for Job. Most feel that it probably was, well, just 1 year. 1 year. Some of you have gone through it more than a year. Maybe God has more confidence in you than even in Job. But God is a rewarder of those who have a right spirit. Not just because you've endured what you're going through. And don't let those say, why don't you just curse God and die? You know, all of these years, your relatives could say, all these years, you've been faithful to God. And look! Look what's happened. Get thee behind me, Satan. I've got a God I'm going to see face to face one day. It doesn't matter what happens here on earth. I got to make it to heaven. Job 42, hesitate to say this, one of my favorite scriptures. Shouldn't be. Job 42 and verse number 10 says, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." Now, I believe that that scripture can apply to me and to you. I believe you're going through some things, and at the end of it, well, there is going to be a reward. And I believe that God could restore everything that has been taken from you. I believe that with all my heart. But you see, he couldn't be wounded because of his friends, because of his situation, because of his loss. I know of people who have had a situation in their life many years ago, and they just have not been able to get past it. Somebody cheated them out of money. Someone said something that was wrong, you know. And so they have never gotten back to the place where they had the freedom to love God and to be blessed by God. The key is, and I've said this a number of times before, I believe the key is to pray that this be taken from you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Psalms 34 and 19 says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of some of them." All. For 29 years, I have watched saints with prolonged illness struggle through, even my wife, even myself, watched it happen. I've seen saints devastated by divorce and abandonment. Sometimes the worst thing that could happen to an individual is a divorce, because there's a tearing of flesh. I've seen saints struggle after loved ones and family have passed away. They don't understand why God's allowed that to happen. Others lose employment or struggle with finances in their life, and they're always struggling in order to make ends meet. There's a solution for that if you simply tithe many times. But God has to prove us from time to time. I've also unfortunately seen saints walk away from the church and God because of these thorns that have been in the flesh. They can't understand why God would allow these things to happen to them. And then I've witnessed saints who have battled illness and divorce and abandonment and loved ones passing away, and they walk to an altar and they worship God, and they are restored and they are blessed and they are given and given and given, because God promotes after the thorn. I said, Sister Bidding, there are so many I could list. Brother and Sister Portman, on a Saturday at 4:44, their baby died because of a mistake they made in the hospital, probably the worst day of my life. And yet I remember on that Sunday morning them walking into church, standing right where they are right now, lifting their hands and worshiping God. What are you made of? Job said, "It is the spirit in a man, the breath of the Almighty, that gives him understanding." I can pray for people, but only God can give them understanding and comfort. You see, Wednesday I did this funeral for Brother Barron's. Too many funerals over the years. I have a stack of funeral notes that high. What can a pastor say to those who are grieving? It falls on me to somehow comfort them, but you know, there's nothing I can say of my own self, but there is words that come from another world. A God who has conquered death. And I came to one scripture, Hebrews 12 and 2, it says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our life, our faith. We have trusted Jesus as the author, but now, can we trust him as the finisher of our faith? My God's going to take me home. My God's going to take me through this thing. I am so determined that nothing, no thorn, no problem, no sickness, nor passing, nor there are going to be afflictions, but can you trust him? Be the author and the finisher of your faith. Make sure your spirit is always right, folks. Walk in here on a Sunday morning, tonight, on Wednesday, and make sure your spirit is right. I'll tell you what. You need to get here early. You need to get to the altar. And you need to stand before God and say, God, put the searchlight of heaven on me. Make sure my spirit is right so I can truly offer you something in this worship service. That's all we have. That's our stock and trade. It's the only thing that has any value to God. If we just walk in here whenever we feel like it, oh yeah. Make sure your spirit is always right. Don't let the thorn in your flesh become a thorn in your spirit. And Job said this in Job 13 and 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I remember praying for Pastor Schmaltz. I don't know if I prayed for anything or anyone as much as I have for him when he was diagnosed with cancer. But there was a confidence that he had in God. If I don't get through this thing, I'm still going to worship him on streets of gold. And like Job, I will maintain my own ways before him. Because that's all I have. Doesn't matter what you've accumulated in this life. Anybody knows who you are. Doesn't matter if you ever stand behind a pulpit. It doesn't matter. What matters is a right spirit with our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That he could bless us and keep us. Prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemy. Oh, one day I'll be in his house forever and ever. Would you stand with me, please? I never want to give an ultimatum to my God. If you'll do this, no. God, I'm just looking for your mercy. See, I don't know what's good for me, but he does. Hallelujah. I don't understand it, but I'm going to worship him. And I'm going to keep my ways. I'm going to keep my integrity. And I wonder, some of you who have been going through it, what a testimony you have, not only to this church, but a testimony to everybody that sees what you're going through, and yet you're still faithful, still love God. You see, that may be worth more than being able to deliver a message or sing a solo. You've kept your integrity. You've kept your love for God. This altar's open. Would you come?